Well, welcome to Redeemer. We're so grateful that you are here to celebrate the birth of Jesus with us. And so I want you to look at whoever you're sitting next to, or maybe even your child on your lap, and just loudly tell them, Merry Christmas. Come on. Now let's do it again and include a high five. Come on. Merry Christmas. Kids, I've got great news. I don't get to speak as long as usual because this is a family service, so I'll wrap up in about 44 minutes. Throughout this Advent season here at Redeemer, we have spent time focusing on many historical moments that lead up to this, the Christmas celebration. And clearly we know that much took place before the birth of Christ, before he was conceived in a womb, before he was made, as we see in Philippians 2, in human likeness. Creation was born. We've talked in this Advent season about how God had this perfect plan, that he initiated creation, that it was his design, it was intentional, and it was good. Trust was born. Abraham passes an unfathomable test. And out of his obedience, we see God respond by unleashing blessing on his life. And then hope was born. John the Baptist came along, and he was the answer to so many promises. He came to prepare the way of the Lord, as we see in Isaiah. And then salvation was born. God said, it is time, not just to be with us, not just to be among us, but to become one of us. And as we gather together this eve of Christmas, we're going to look at joy. The joy that was born in this Christmas story, the joy that was born that night of the birth of our Savior. In Luke chapter 2, we're given this invigorating account of the birth narrative, the story of Jesus's arrival on the scene. Look with me at chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, and you would be terrified, and I would be terrified. This would have been terrifying. But the angel said to them, hold on, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Would you say that with me? Good news. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So we sang earlier together, joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat eat the sounding joy. That's why we gather. We have joy. The joy of the Lord is ours, right? According to the angel, this fantastic news would bring uncontainable joy, complete bliss to all of humanity. A Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the King at his birth. That's who he is. But just let's all be honest with one another for one moment. Just lift your hand in the air if there's something in your life right now that's stealing your joy. Go ahead. Or at least attempting to steal your joy. Go ahead and lift your hand. All of us have some sort of burden at hand. All of us have some sort of struggle, right? Because this birth narrative that we see of Jesus, it's great. It brings joy to our lives. However, we live life, don't we? And life is hard. The cancer maybe came back. Or maybe it's your marriage. Or maybe it's your employment. Or maybe you're depressed or you're lonely. Or you're addicted or school is hard. Or retirement is hard, or aging is hard. Paying the bills is hard. Maybe you can't sleep at night for whatever reason. Something is keeping you up. stealing your joy, robbing your peace of mind, making you anxious. Maybe you're mad at yourself. Maybe you're mad at someone else, mad at your spouse, mad at your children. Maybe you're mad at God. For all of us, something is constantly nagging us in this life, because that's life. It has its ups and downs. We know that to be true, not only from Scripture, but also from experience. But herein lies the beauty of this story of Jesus' birth. He stepped in to our dysfunctional world. He stepped into our dysfunctional relationships, our dysfunctional lives. He stepped into our pain. He stepped into our poverty, stepped into our conflict. He stepped into our corruption. And he did so to prove to you your value and your worth. And he did so with the idea of redemption. He came to reach and redeem all of humanity, and he came while we were still sinners. Andrea and I have 4 children, and so I'm here to admit and confess to you that dysfunction is almost a part of our everyday life. Like a few hours ago, just dysfunction, just something going on in the household. And so recently, I taught my children, some of you may have done the same, the lyrics to the well-known song, just as a constant reminder of the joy that we have in the Lord. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Thank you. I'm glad you asked. It's down in my heart. Thank you. It's down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, and it's down in my heart to stay. And oh, friends, that's biblical. We see Jesus encouraging his disciples in John chapter 16. And he's saying, look, nothing can take the joy. Nothing can snatch the joy out of your heart that I have placed there, that I have sealed there. It is a fruit of my Spirit that is alive in your life. You have joy. And nothing can steal it. And we know that to be true, because joy is not this object that we live this life thinking that we must go earn or attain or search for. And that's when we get into trouble, right? When we think, I got to go find joy. But really, in Christ, joy is not something that we work towards. It's not something that we're looking for and searching for. Joy is something that we have that is locked up and sealed in our heart. And we work from joy, not towards joy. In me, Jesus said, you have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble, right? You are going to have all sorts of trouble, all sorts of fits. And his disciples are right here hearing the job description of being a follower of Jesus. But he says, take heart. Take heart, friends. I have overcome the world. See, we worship an overcomer. Nothing can come against and win against Jesus Christ. We worship a king that is an overcomer. So for those of you here, you might be experiencing a drought of joy in your life. It's been a long time since you've just felt the joy of the Lord. I just want to stand here this evening and encourage you, take heart. Stay the course. He has overcome the world. Joy belongs to you, friends. Joy is a priceless gift, and it changes the way that we live life. It changes the way that we view life, both challenges and blessings. And now, for those of you who are here and your life is just perfect, no challenges, all 9 of you. Really, though, for those of you here who are genuinely celebrating the birth of Christ in this Christmas season, God did not invest himself in the drama of humanity, the dysfunction of mankind, and instill this unspeakable joy and seal it in our hearts just for us to bottle it up and put it on the shelf and save it for a bad day. That's not the purpose of the joy that Christ gives to you and to me, just to keep it for ourselves. No. How many of you all know that news travels fast these days? Especially those of you on Facebook. especially you grandparents on Facebook, who are celebrating the birth of a grandchild, or maybe a college graduation. You parents certainly celebrate that news, don't you? Or maybe a career change or an engagement to be married. This handsome fellow playing the guitar earlier, Parker, he got engaged this week. News travels fast. We celebrate news. The Christmas story, friends, it travels with us. The Christmas story is who we are, that Christ came to earth, came and embedded himself here among humanity to save humanity. And this news, it's not a story that stops and ends. It's not a story that runs out of its glamour. But those of us who know this story, those of us who embrace and own this story in our lives, our responsibility is to share that story, despite the fact that we constantly have things attacking our joy. Our responsibility is to share this story. Recently, I saw a beautiful cardinal flying around in our backyard. And when you see a beautiful cardinal, you instinctively think, that bird needs to eat, so I'm going to provide it food. So I put a bird feeder in my backyard. You can see my friend sitting right on top. It's beautiful, isn't he? And so after I hung this thing in the backyard and I'm sitting there anxiously awaiting the arrival of my cardinal, I couldn't wait for him to see what I've done for him. And I'm waiting, and all these sparrows start coming in. 15, 20, 40 sparrows all coming in, and they do the most unusual thing. They fly in, and they land on the ground, and they just sit there, and they just wait. And then here comes this cardinal, and he sits right on the edge of the bird feeder. And before he takes any food for himself, you can come to my home and watch this with me. It's awesome. He takes his 2 feet and he rakes the bird seed backwards and he flings it all over the ground. He scatters this bird seed everywhere. You can see in this picture there's more seed on the ground than there is in the feeder. And you know, this is not about a social hierarchy of birds in my backyard. That's not the point. This bird feeder is certainly not exclusive to cardinals. Every kind of bird can enjoy bird seed in our backyard. The reason I'm sharing this with you is that this is a resource that one bird knows about. This is a resource that one bird fully understands. This is a resource that one bird in our neighborhood is confident enough to fly and approach the bird seed and take it as his own. But every time he comes to eat, he first shares. Every time he takes bird seed and he flings it on the ground and scatters it everywhere so the other birds can enjoy. Maybe eventually one day these sparrows will look up and they'll realize what's been available all along. So joy is yours to give away. The joy of this story, this birth narrative that eventually results in the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's your story. And that's your story to share. It's contagious. It certainly is contagious. It's unending. It doesn't run out or run dry. So give and give and give and give joy away. And when you feel like you've run out, that's when you give even more. You're constantly giving joy because we know in Christ there's plenty to go around. And by the way, you and I both know that joy can even rub off on some of the most unexpected people, right? There are people in your life, and you know who I'm talking about right now. You need to fling some joy into their world. Regardless if they want it, regardless if they know what you're up to, you need to scatter the joy of the Lord into their life. No matter what their circumstance may be, and I know many of us and many of you are walking through difficult circumstances. But joy is like the trump card, isn't it? It changes the entire game. It changes our entire lives. And so I share with those of you who are here because maybe you're interested in Jesus. Maybe you've heard the story of Jesus. It's made its way into your head, but it's never made its way into your heart. Or maybe you're here because you were invited or you saw a big sign on the road or got a postcard. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son so that if you choose to believe in him, you don't have to die. You'll live forever. The good news that we're talking about this Christmas is the best news for your life. He's an unreasonably, outrageously loving and kind and merciful God. And choosing to be in relationship with him, it will satisfy that deep longing that he placed in your heart. He placed it there because only he can satisfy that longing. So maybe this Christmas is the Christmas where the birth story results in the salvation story of your own life. And it's as easy as admitting your belief in God. It's as easy as saying, you know, I need God to forgive me. I want to give my life to him. It's as easy as coming and getting involved in the local church and letting other believers come alongside and walk with you and help you understand this mysterious life with Christ. It's an adventure. So friends, if that's you, I applaud you that you're opening your heart to Jesus.